Hi, I'm Royce.
I'm Chris.
And this is
Twin
Teens
Talking
Teens
Talking
TCGS, your companion podcast to Teens Talking TCGS. Today, we have a very special guest. They're all special, but this one is...
More special?
No, just the same amount of special. And his name is...
JD.
Is JD more special? We don't make judgments on the specialness of our guests. Nonetheless, it's a great episode. Everyone in the crew has been saying it's probably our best episode. I had some technical difficulties, and JD's audio cuts off about an hour and a half in. It being JD, the episode was pretty long.
Did the hashtags get cut out?
Yeah, I think the hashtags cut out.
We should just make up hashtags then.
Okay, so what are the hashtags? So come up with some.
I still wear my beret straight like Ratatouille.
Hashtag I still wear my beret straight like Ratatouille. Hashtag turd muffin is the one I'm going to throw out there.
Well, that's not that good a one.
I'm not as funny as you.
We could think of a better one.
Shoot. Come on with one. This is already running really long.
I don't like it.
Okay, regardless, so his audio cut out an hour and a half in, but I am going to be able to salvage the second half of the podcast after he gets cut out by fucking around with everyone else's audio. So tomorrow, maybe later today, we're going to have a very special episode 6.5 that will come out.
Hashtag Shack Shack.
Hashtag Shack Shack.
Different shacks for each word. It's a restaurant that Shaquille O'Neal owns called the Shack Shack.
Hashtag Shack Shack. And we've already spent way too long doing this intro. Keep your ears open for episode...
Hashtag Shack Shack.
Episode 6.5 coming out as soon as possible. Here's the theme song. Teens talking. Teens talking. Teens talking. Teens talking. Teens talking. Teens talking.
Okay, go
God.
Naomi, go with the intro.
Okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Teens Talking TCGS, episode 6.
Episode 6.
Untitled at the moment. I am Naomi from New York.
I'm Royce from the Bay Area.
I'm Chris, also from the Bay Area.
I'm Paige, from an undisclosed location.
I'm Andres from Massachusetts.
And our special guest.
A special guest.
This is JD from New York City.
What?
Woo! Wow. Oh, man. Wooey!
We got to tell
us a big guest
this week.
We thought this was going to be amateur hour, but it's not.
Okay.
Thank you for having me, guys. I'm glad to be here on Teens Talking TCGS, though it has been years since I have been a teens.
Thanks for being here, JD.
Did they still spell it with a Z back in the day?
I don't... You know, I think it was pretty hip. The Z stuff was pretty hip when I was a teen. So I'm going to say yes. We were teens for sure with the Z.
Literacy was pretty hip back in those days.
So are you calling us like behind the curve then?
No, this is retro nostalgia. This is modern pop retro nostalgia podcasting.
Do you think anyone ever mistook us for cool, Royce? We were never ahead of the curve. We're always behind the curve.
No, maybe like the first day of school, someone might have like thought about it for a second, and then we're like, no, not this kid.
Oh, man.
Okay, so
all right.
Let's get right to podcasting stuff.
Yeah, Naomi always with the detailed agenda, what we're going to talk about every week, so why don't you take it away?
So I think the first, well, JD, I know you have a lot of questions for us as well.
That's very presumptuous.
Well, he's... Shut up.
Yes, here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say is that I love that you guys are doing this podcast. I think this is really great because it is, at its best, it is just a group of friends hanging out across the country talking together.
At its worst?
TCGS is sort of not even related to it, which I think is great. And what I like about it is it's just long form conversation podcasting. Like at its very best, it's you guys just hanging out, telling stories, talking with each other like friends would. And I think that is the pinnacle of what podcasting should and can be. And I think particularly the fact that you guys are teenagers that are all united under this one banner of this weird show that you like means that you have like weird things in common, but also this will serve as a weird historical landmark for what you guys were like as teenagers. Like years from now, you'll be able to look back at this and be like, great, this is what I was as a teenager. And so as an item of art, it is a emblem of modern teenage, this one sect of modern teenage culture that you guys are like putting on display. So I feel like today I want to get into what it is like being teenagers that are a part of this very specific small community of people. Like you have like minds that are similar for one reason, and I want to dive into what that means.
That was beautiful. I think I just cried a little bit.
Month and a half in, and you saying this was a historical document is the first time I've.
And you called it art.
Yeah,
you're
art.
Calling this art. The podcast show last week, I talked about my trip to France. That was not. This is the furthest thing from art possible.
That's not. I don't want to talk about that ever again.
See, that's not. I disagree entirely. I think this is a work of art. I think this work of art that even if you're not intending it to be art, you are intending it to be taken by audiences. And I think the audience that those will be most interesting to is the future versions of you and the future versions of teens and the future versions of comedy fans that will look back on this and go, this is what it was like in this instance to be a teenager that liked these specific things.
I think that we did touch upon that kind of last 2 weeks ago with Griffin. We talked about that kind of like the whole
yeah, a little bit.
Looking back at stuff. Yeah.
I just had a vision of my future children listening to this. It was a little bit terrified.
But imagine this, if you had something of your parents that was hours and hours of them just talking with their friends online, wouldn't you love to listen to that? Wouldn't that be the most interesting thing?
Yeah, that I would.
That is a really good point, actually.
It's like how I met your mother, but not at all.
Oh, God. I'm going to draw similarities to what you just said, JD, and 12 Hour, because I think part of the reason I really enjoy listening to 12 Hour is not just like, oh, it's a big 12-hour joke, but, like, the fact that it's so interesting to listen to, and it's, like, you and just Connor just hanging out, but it also happens to be for 12 hours, and you also happen to record everything that you say. And I also just listened to an hour and a half of it on my ride back home.
Sure.
So it's, like, very fresh in my mind at this moment. But I think that people who really like podcasts for that reason – there's crossover, like they like Teens Talking and 12 Hour. Also, we all just happen to be Chris or Gethard Show fans, but that's like a, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Sure.
Part of it.
Yeah, I mean, 12 Hour Day for us, like there is an aspect of it where there's humor and comedy, the fact that it's, yeah, this 12 hour thing that is very difficult to ingest. But for Connor and I, it's a project that actually means a lot to us and that like we have put a lot of thought behind. Because I think we do want this to be sort of a weird historical document for our friendships and the people that we are right now. And I think there is definitely a new thing in media and comedy and just creation in general where you can so easily record the world around you now and share that with people that there's definitely a part of the world that just takes joy in being transported to someone else's life for a little bit. And so for us, we try to sort of take that to the highest degree possible, which was to make that 12 hours long and really dive into like the core of our friendship and the people we are. And I think that's what you guys are doing to a certain extent too, is you're just, I mean, without having as much pretentious thoughts about it as maybe I am right now, but you're recording yourselves just being friends, which is something you couldn't do. You certainly couldn't share it as soon as like, you know, a decade ago, and decades ago, you couldn't do this at all. It'd be nearly impossible to do it. So I think it is sort of a cool of the times expression of culture and something that I think you'll look back on fondly, hopefully, or not. It might be terrifying.
We'll probably regret most of it.
Yeah, we'll regret like that.
I'm definitely going to regret all of
it. Andres will. Yep.
Yeah. I think if anyone will, it'll be Andres. I think you mentioned something that I hadn't thought about as of almost like podcasts or listening to podcasts is almost a form of escapism. Like being transported into someone else's life that I hadn't really thought about.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a conversation you don't have to worry about contributing to.
That is, yeah, it's like kind of passively participating in the conversation.
Yeah, you get to listen in on someone. Like, a lot of the podcasts I listen to are people that I'm really fascinated by, like Jeff Rubin's podcast, which is so great, and Pete Holmes, where I really like them as people, and I like listening to their lives and not having to worry about them being like, who is this person next to us listening to everything we're saying? I can just sit in the back of the class and listen instead.
Well, I think there are lots of forms of media where you can necessarily where you could kind of detach the person themselves from like the actual like work. Like, I can listen to a song by someone who's just like a terrible person and still enjoy it. But if you like hate the person whose podcast it is, I don't think there's any way that you'll have a good time doing it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think when I listen to Pete Holmes' show, whenever I used to finish it, I'd be like, I used to think to myself, it's like we're friends almost already. Like, I remember having a very vivid memory of thinking to myself, oh yeah, if I ever saw Pete, I could just like say what's up to him. And then I realized I've never actually talked to him in real life. Like, we've never shared words. He doesn't know I'm a person that listens to it. So that's just a weird thing.
Yeah, and there's something to be said, too, about the fact that podcasts like this and, like, what you're talking about are unironic, right? Right now in comedy and culture, there's a big thing of everything being ironic and being attached from the things that you're doing, but detached from the things that you're doing. But this is, like, this is not ironic. This is completely unironic. This is genuine. This is you guys just hanging out. And I think there's also something to podcasts and conversations that is comforting to listen to because it's not ironic. It's not purposely over the top or purposely bad or purposely anything. It's just people being themselves, which I think in a time where there's a lot of over the top in your face stuff and things with sort of no heart and soul behind it, it's comforting to just listen to people enjoying each other and listening to each other. I find that to be something, at least for me, that is grounding as a person to be able to listen to something like that.
Well, it's funny you mentioned like the lack of irony, because I think that's part of the reason why like I loved the Chris Gethard show when I first found it. Like, I wrote that really long rambly email to Talking TCGS where I was reading a lot of David Foster Wallace when I found the show, and he talks a lot about irony being almost like a barrier to like personal relationships and something that's so like ingrained in our culture to this point where it's like advertisements use irony. Like, irony has almost been flipped on its head to something that could almost be manipulative instead of subversive. And I think I saw Loser is the New Nerd, and it was something that was really kind of beautifully just raw, that people are just saying why they think that they're losers and that being okay and no one making fun of it. Or even no one's making fun of the idea of people claiming to be losers. It was just genuine.
It's a very supportive community.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's when I first got, like, I saw that episode. I was like, I need to see more of this.
Yeah, I think that's...
hundreds of hours later.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's something we're definitely very aware of, and we try not to be ironic, or if we are, we want... our irony once we want it to lead to genuine enjoyment and not ironic enjoyment. For sure. Absolutely.
So what podcast do you listen to, JD? You've touched upon it really briefly in the Talking TCGS, like some really out there ones that like anyone else listens to.
I like podcast number one that are long conversation podcasts that are people being conversational and talking to one another. But I also like things that are niche parts of the cultures that I feel like I'm one of the few audience members of, so that I feel like I can have like a very personal impact on. Like, I think there's something really interesting about finding small podcasts or things that people make that there's not a huge audience for, because then if you interact with them, you can be a large part in changing or supporting or encouraging that to move in a direction that is more closer to what you like about it, which I think is sort of similar to what sort of your guys' involvement with the Gethard show was. A lot of you started listening very early on, and thus you could call in and say you hated something or liked something, and that would dictate what happened in the show. So for me, like, I like to listen to podcasts that are small like that. So I listen to things that have to do with my hobbies. So, for example, like I listen to a track and field podcast that talks about all the news and drama going on in the track and field world of distance running and sprinting and field events, which there's actually a really big community of. And this, the one podcast I listen to, House of Run, is a really great podcast. They do a really good job covering it. But it's two friends.
House of Run's plug.
What's that? Yeah. I'm plugging another podcast on your guys' podcast. Your guys.
It's fair.
Yeah. But yeah, then just a bunch of other stuff. I just started listening to My Brother and Me, which is just three brothers giving advice to people. And they're comedy people, but it's just really, really funny. And they're really genuinely funny people. And then a lot of film stuff, a lot of comedy stuff. I don't know. I feel like the specifics aren't that interesting.
So I felt like when I used to live, I don't really listen to podcasts as much as I'd like to anymore, but when I was really into them, I would try to keep up to date with every single one. It seems like you have so many, you can't do that.
No. So do you just... I absolutely can. I absolutely can do it to an embarrassing degree. Because I live alone. And also, like, my brain will sort of spin out of control sometimes. And that's sort of one of the reasons I live alone, is so I can sort of do that and sort of deal with it on my own. And then for me, podcasts are a way to ground me, or a way to like reconnect me with reality in a very literal sense. And so every night when I'm sleeping, I have a podcast on. When I'm alone in my apartment just working on something, I have a podcast on. When I'm commuting, I have a podcast on. So I actually end up listening to every episode of the podcast I listen to like 3 or 4 times, to the point that like I can almost memorize them by the time the week's up, just because they're on loop so often.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I've recently discovered that I can't sleep unless a podcast is playing.
Yeah, I do that.
But night. I also don't want to miss any of it, so like I wouldn't put 12-hour on because then I would miss all of it. But I just put on It's That Episode, which is Craig Rowan's podcast, sure. And it's just like something I've heard before. I'll just put it on, and it's like it's long enough where like I can fall asleep and not leave my iPhone on all night. But it's short enough where I can do that, but it's also long enough where I will fall asleep before it's over. There we go. Those are words.
Right.
I don't know. I've suddenly become that person where I need a podcast playing. Otherwise, I can't focus and fall asleep.
I'll fall asleep in the middle of it, and I'll have to find my place. It'll take me
that happens to me.
To finish, like, an episode of Harmontown.
Yeah.
Sure. I was just going to say, I think it's funny, we were just saying, like, you listen to a podcast and you, like, feel like you're friends with the people who are making it or whatever. And, like, JD, you and I know each other in real life, but I also, just know that stuff about, I'm not trying to name drop, but I just know that stuff about you.
Currently on a podcast.
Someone I'm having a conversation with. No, but, I know that stuff about you, not because I know you in real life, but because I've heard it on a podcast.
Yeah, Talking TCGS.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But I thought that
Yeah,
was
for sure. We've actually gotten...
OG Talking TCGS.
We've gotten some criticism for that lately.
About what? Oversharing?
Amongst our personal friends, for the fact that it's strange listening to your friends discuss personal things.
That was Rob Malone, wasn't it?
Rob wasn't the only one. That's been a criticism among people, but... I wrote, if you guys saw that post that Rob posted, I posted a very in-depth response to his post. But yeah, I think that's interesting, Paige, because you and I are friends. We do know each other outside of this current podcast and other podcasts. Mm-hmm. But the amount of actual in-depth discussions we've probably had, especially one-on-one, are far less than we've probably heard each other on various podcasts.
Yeah, definitely.
I think there's something great about just the excuse of just having to fill up a bunch of time with conversation. Because, like, when you're with your friends just, like, shooting the shit, going to get food, like, you're not talking that in-depth about anything. It's very surface-level and observational. And that's not something that you could do when we're all just in our respective rooms. We're, like, talking about something and building off of it.
Yeah, I think that's very true. That's something Connor talks about a lot, is he's like, yeah, while you would like to know this stuff about both Connor and I in real life, as opposed to hearing it via a podcast, for a lot of people, even our closest friends, we're not going to get around to talking about that stuff on day to day because it's stuff that you can only really talk about after you've been sitting there for 8 hours talking about your personal lives. Did you really get into the deep stuff? That it's like, yeah, I don't think we would talk about that in person ever. So is it fair to not want that to be something that we're talking about publicly? I don't know. I don't know.
When I go into this, I feel like, I think now it's become clear that I'm the oversharer of the group. I just
talk. Most definitely.
A little bit. I feel like I just talk as if I'm having a conversation with just people. I feel like even if someone's hearing this, the way I want this to work is like you're having a conversation almost with me. That's a goal, for at least for me, is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's...
Well, go ahead. I don't know. I would love to hear these stories about like all of you guys and like hearing these conversations and I wouldn't, even if we weren't recording, I would like love to just, we would all be at the pilot taping and like, I would love to hear all these stories if I was just hanging with you guys, no matter what. So I think that it's cool that I get to record, we get to record them and then I get to listen to them again and laugh about them again. And I think that regardless of whether or not we do a podcast, I would love to like just every Saturday, every Sunday night, just like hang out with everyone.
No, yeah, that's like why I like doing this. I like talking with you guys. But there's like a certain quality to like podcasts where you sit down where like it's not that I wouldn't talk about some of this stuff with friends, but like the situations, it'd be like the quality of the conversations we kind of have here are kind of the same that you would have with friends after like a weird, crazy night and everything's died down and you're just like sitting out, like talking about things. If that makes any sense, if you've had any experiences like that.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Like that, that make
or
any
like
sense?
Or like road trips.
Or like road trips, yeah.
Right, and also like we are friends, like all of us are friends, but like we haven't really been friends for that long. You know, like Royce and Chris and Naomi, like I just met you for the first time in like January, like late January.
Yeah. I thought you were gonna say Royce and Chris. You guys don't know each other, and I was like,
oh, we hardly know where they are. Half the time in the house.
Yeah, they're in the same house and don't know where each other are. But so like I feel like we are like becoming friends. Every week, just by talking to each other.
I think like again, I keep referencing old podcasts. Just the Celeste episode, she brought up how when we first became friends, it was a lot of trying to impress the other person. Like, I think I felt that way when I first met you, but just noticed, like, I noticed it today. For, like, maybe 5 minutes was just me and Paige in the Google Hangout, and
sorry,
I didn't feel
that.
The need to, like, fill it up with jokes or anything. I just was like, oh, it's Paige. I can just, like, say hi to Paige, and that's it. Like, I don't feel the need to impress anybody.
Yeah, there was a weird thing that happened a year ago or so with my Herald team at UCB, as a bunch of us were hanging out at a bar one night. And as comedy folk are wont to do, we ended up doing this elaborate bit where we were all acting like, you know, we were all acting like we were old friends from a hometown that were meeting up at a bar at like a high school reunion afterwards. And we're like, oh, yeah, you know, so like, oh, how's so-and-so? Oh, yeah, yeah, whatever happened with that? Oh, yeah, how's your job going? I hear you got, you know, we're doing this whole bit. And then we paused after doing this for like 15 minutes and we were like, guys, I don't think we've ever like actually like talked and cared about each other's lives as much as we did with those fake versions of things. And it was weird because it was true because you very rarely, especially with like, you know, comedy people in their 20s, do you all sit down and start talking about, oh, how's this going on in your life? How's that? Oh, you know, I was always wondering how you do this and that. So then we made a concerted effort for the next like 3 hours just to actually invest in each other's lives the same way, to the same degree that we were in that bit. And suddenly, like, those people became very good friends, and we started sharing things. It was like, oh, it's actually very easy to share your life with people, but it's also just a tiny bit easier to put up a guard and sort of not share things. But then the moment I feel like you step across the precipice and start actually just being a person, suddenly, like, oh, it's very easy to connect with people. It's very easy just to talk about your life with someone and care about someone else's life.
It's the whole irony versus, like, genuine that we were talking about. Like,
yeah.
It's so much easier to be just ironic and make jokes about things. But it's not really a good basis for a friendship just to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't...
Should we have one of those moments, guys? Or should all...
Well, here, I've got some questions for you guys that I want to hear about. Because basically, we get through this podcast, we get a pretty good look into all of your lives through you guys talking with each other about stuff. So now I want to set a foundation for the audience to understand each of you individually. So the first thing I want to know is, and these are things that are both want the current audience to hear, but then also I feel like are going to be good things that like years from now to serve as like a documentary base for you, for your kids or you in the future looking back at the past. So the first thing I want to know is teens talking TCGS. Describe to me the things that are going on in your life right now that are important to you, troubling to you, the things that you are thinking about on a day-to-day basis. And I want to go one at a time just so I can hear about the things that you are thinking about.
Let's go in order of age.
Okay.
So that way we know.
So Andres,
where we're going. Are we going oldest, youngest, youngest, oldest?
Let's go oldest to youngest.
Yeah, okay. oldest to youngest. So Wilmot brothers, fight that out.
So that would be us.
I'm the oldest, I guess.
By how many minutes?
So 2 minutes.
So Royce, that's what's going on in your life right now?
Yeah.
Oh God. yeah. Just. Oh man, this is. I feel really awkward about this.
Just give into it. Just go with it. Be okay with it.
Just say things. Yeah. So I guess I'm going to community college. I think that's something that part of me feels really bad about and insecure, because I was kind of a nerd in high school and. I kind of burned out on just schoolwork and just ended up at community college after going to another 4-year. So part of me feels really weird about that, especially like talking to friends who like got into like Cal Berkeley and things. And I think about that a lot because like I have to turn in applications to schools in like a week. And I have like terrible anxiety in terms of like turning things in on time or like talking to teachers about writing me letters of recommendation. So that's what I've been like kind of stressed out about. And then like, I don't know, just like being in a town that like for most people, or at least most people I'm friends with, they've been out of here for like a year and a half, 2 years, and just being kind of stuck. One of our friends described it as like being a survivor from the zombie apocalypse. And I think I can relate to that in a way. It's just things are slow and boring. And when I say that this is one of the highlights of my week doing this podcast, part of my life is sad enough that that's actually like pretty damn accurate. I like this. This is fun.
That's cool.
Cheers. Oh, man, that was...
That's great. That's awesome.
And nobody can see that you are drinking soda. So see, once
weird
again...
weird rust around the
Yeah, there's
bottle.
Like a weird rust on the bottle.
Like, it might not be rust.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, yeah. That is concerning.
And can't wait until your tetanus results comes back.
I'm recording a podcast.
Royce,
so I'm
can
not
you record
go
a podcast
a
with Lockjaw?
We'll see. I mean, Kanye West did record a song with his jaw wired shut.
What?
Chris, your turn.
Okay,
Chris,
go. Chris,
wait, what's with the Kanye West song? Okay.
Chris, the silent contributor to Teens Talking CGS.
I'm really interested in seeing how this would go because this dude is like a closed book.
Yeah, Chris usually sits.
The thing is, mine's like similar to yours because like both of us left the schools we were at last year. Royce much sooner than me.
I toughed it out
for a whole year. But like it's kind of weird, like immediately applying for colleges, going to a college, hating it, coming back, and then applying again. So it's like, I still have no idea where I want to go or even where to apply. So if I find places, it's like, it's got to happen immediately. Also, like the quiet thing for like, as far as like letters of rec in college applications go, I'm like mostly screwed because I don't bond with teachers ever. Like I either go unnoticed through the whole class or they just don't like me. Because I'm quiet and look like I'm not paying attention. Like, that's most of it. And I don't know, that's pretty much most of what... And then, like, a lot of nothing.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of weird. Like, last year I was going to film school and I was, like, always working on stuff. And then, like, this past year it's just been, like, this weird lull where I'm not really doing anything. And it can get, like, really boring. Yeah. But, yeah.
Do you guys find it easy to have each other when you're both going through that? Since I feel like there's a twin thing that we're like, since you're going through the same thing, it'd be easy to have someone there that literally knows exactly what you're going through.
I guess.
Yeah, is that something that we really address directly all the time? It's just like kind of like a...
Because of the telepathy.
Yeah, because we're constantly...
Right.
In the other realm.
Naomi, want to go?
Yeah.
Oh, I have a lot going on right now. Friday night, I went to the city yesterday, but I needed to print my ticket, but the printer in my dorm wasn't working. That was like at 1 a.m, and I had a rough day from then up until that point. So I cried on my floor for an hour, because I, like Royce and Chris, like I really don't like school, and I had a lot of friends back home who we had a really weird tight bond. So they're all having fun in school, and I'm not, and it's very isolating. But then also, in a week, I'm having two of my teeth taken out, because when I was young, I backflipped off a diving board and my four front teeth, I don't know if I've told the story before. Right. So my teeth are messed up. So that surgery is in a week and I'm going to have a hole in my face for 6 months, which I am particularly worried about, mostly for vanity, but also just practicality. I'm supposed to play my saxophone, and I don't know if I can do that. And it's been a general month of feeling inferior, I think. And I'm not excited to have two teeth ripped out of my skull.
Are you getting flipper teeth? That's like...
Yes. Yeah, I think it's going to be a retainer. So that it's going to be like a retainer with fake teeth on it. And then there's always the chance that the other two teeth that were damaged might need to come out as well. So, but they don't need to at the moment. So I might have to go through that all over again. So it's going to be a fun 6 months.
Sure, sure, sure. And you're at college right now, right?
Yes. I just came back from the city, and I'm at college. I don't know. I don't particularly like it. It's not a bad place. Like, I think the one of the biggest problems was, like, when I applied to colleges, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know what I was really doing. So I applied to one school in my price range, and then I applied to four private, super expensive schools. And so I got into all of them. And so it was either like, oh, I can go to NYU and like kill myself with loans, or I can just go to an 18K school and suffer for 2 years. And now I'm looking to transfer into Manhattan schools, which is a whole other thing that I don't know how to do. So
it's the worst.
Yeah.
Oh God.
It's my transferring is year. Worse it's than normal worst. Applications, I think.
Wanna go, Paige? Sorry.
You'll go fine. Like that was the worst thing.
It's
to
the
tell
worst,
someone.
But it'll go fine.
It's easier than you think it is. It's still terrible, but it always goes easier than you think it is.
The biggest problem is like finding a school right now, versus like applying to it. It's just like I don't know what school would have what I want to do, because I also don't really know what I want to do still. So it's all up in the air.
Sure, sure, sure.
All right. Mine.
Who's up next?
That's me.
Paige.
The 18-year-old.
Wait, also, how old are each of you?
We're
19.
They're all 19.
Yeah, I'm 9. We're all going to just yell.
I'm 18.
I'm 16.
I'm 19.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
August is so much younger than us.
I think it's interesting, quickly, though. It's like perfectly a step down, because the Womack brothers have each done a year of college. This is Naomi's freshman year. Mm-hmm. This is Paige's senior year, and this is my junior year.
Okay, wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
So we have 4 years in a row.
Yeah. We do.
Wanna go, Paige?
Okay.
So, Paige, you're a senior in high school right now.
I am, yeah. I guess, like, the main, like, not super great thing that's happening now is I'm just, like, waiting to hear back from colleges. That's not, like, terrible. But, like, you know, I'm just, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where I'm going to be in the fall. But I don't know. I feel weird saying this after, like, those other free stories, but, like, things are generally good for me right now, you know, like.
No, those are the best. You have to, like, really appreciate that. No.
I feel like I like my life for the most part now.
Yeah, no, and, like, I'm not, and I don't mean to, like, say that it was, like, weird for you guys to tell stories that weren't, like, giddy or whatever, you know? It's just, like, I don't know, like, things are fine. I'm going on spring break next week.
Woo-wee,
exactly. What else? So, spring break. It is weird that I'll be done with high school in, like, 2 months. You know, like, I'm very excited about that. I don't want to be in high school anymore, but, like, I'm really going to miss my friends, and I'm, like, moving away in the summer for, like, a job, and, like, my friends will be able to come visit me and stuff, but, like, I don't know, it's just, like, all going really, really fast now, which happens to everyone, I think, but it's pretty weird.
Do you have a sense that you're almost, like, in limbo? I felt like senior year was, like, in limbo, because, like, you're not invested in your life necessarily in high school, because you're, like, you're on your way out, but, like, right. You're not where you're going.
Exactly, yeah, and, like, you know, I have some friends who already know where they're going to school, which maybe they're not in, like, a totally, like, a really great situation compared to me, I don't know, but, and not that I'm in a bad situation, but, like, still, you know, waiting or whatever. But yeah, I'm, like, really unmotivated by school right now, so.
Does your senior year feel like, almost like one big, I felt like for me it was, like, one big stretch of just kind of dicking around, and almost like a party, like, where I would have, like, 2 free periods a day to just sit around on my ass with my friends.
Yeah.
Take lots of pictures. That's going to be the best. And then you just go back and look at all the stupid things that you did. All right. That's my advice.
That sounds good.
I feel like I've had 2 straight years of senioritis. Like, since senior year until now, I'm still in senioritis.
I've still got some senioritis.
That's pretty much Andres, it, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, one second. Andres is up. Just got delivered. I'm so sorry.
Okay, I'll keep talking.
God damn it, Andres. I'll be back.
I still need to buy a prom dress. That's a thing.
You're going to prom?
Probably. My friends are going.
Who here went to prom? Because Chris didn't go to prom.
Hey, Royce, speaking of prom, tell your prom story.
No.
Tell your prom story, Royce. Let's start at the beginning.
Get past
it. It's junior year. We'll start from there. What's your prom story?
Oh, God.
We're all excited. Well, let's wait for Audrey. I want to hear it.
I'll tell my junior prom story. I didn't go to my junior prom because I had broken up with a boyfriend too recently to get a date, and I also hadn't thought about any of, like, the necessary, like, I didn't talk to my friends about limos or I didn't have a dress or anything. So instead, I sat on my friend's couch and watched Men in Black and ate M&Ms.
That sounds good too. Prom. I did that last year. Right. I mean, I just didn't go last year. But I might go this year.
Senior prom is going to be fun, though.
Yeah.
My junior prom was so bad that I didn't go to senior prom, and instead I went to Denny's with my mom.
I want to know the junior prom story, though. Tell it.
Okay.
It's a really good story.
It's not that weird.
I enjoyed the whole experience from my point of view.
Oh, yeah. You loved it. So, junior year, I got asked by somebody.
Yeah, protect the names.
Yeah, I'm not going to say God, I really hope they don't find this. But so I got asked by somebody who I didn't know her that well. And she was all right. I mean, I just didn't know her that well. And, like, I'm just terrible with social situations like that. And she, like, asked me over Facebook, but, like, telegraphed it. So that, like, she started messaging me, like, probably 3 days before she actually asked. And I knew, like, immediately when she started the conversation. So it was just, like, 3 days of me just, like, stressed out about her about to ask me. And I really had no intention on going. I really had no intention on going to any dances at school. But I ended up going. And we just, like, super awkward because I just didn't want to be there. Which is not against her. I just didn't want to be at prom for the most part. And I just felt really awkward about it. And it was just... It was the worst. And then the thing that's funny about it that Chris loves is apparently she went around telling people that we had almost kissed, but our like teacher like cock blocked us. It just didn't happen at all. So it was just weird and awkward, and like I don't know.
Yeah, but in her mind, maybe that did happen. Maybe in her mind, she was thinking about it. And...
You're like reaching for like something. You're like, oh, you have like a fuzz in your head. Like, you got a little too close.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it just I don't know.
Also, Royce didn't hear these stories until like a year.
Oh yeah, no, it didn't take me until a year really later to learn that. I don't know. That wasn't a very good story at all.
Meanwhile, I made a panini and watched Primer. So.
Who won that night? Who really won that night?
Yeah.
Chris won that night by far.
Shane Carruth.
All right, Andres.
Should I share?
Yes. Go ahead.
So. Wait a second. Hey, Mom, can you close my door? Why is the door open, Mom?
That's the most teen thing that's ever happened.
We need a sound effect for every time Andres does something like this.
Arguing with his grandma on like episode 3.
Some say arguing, some say just yelling at his grandma.
We just like captured gold there when he had that argument with his grandma.
I do think that moment sums up where Andres is at pretty well.
It's like he has no concern that he's being recorded.
We need a button we can press out.
Like, you just have you're just going about your life completely normally. I love it.
Okay, so my life at the moment. So I'm a junior in high school,
sure,
and I go to a pretty prestigious prep boys' school in Massachusetts.
What's his name?
What?
We can't talk about what it is. No, you can't.
Can't say its name. I will get suspended, maybe expelled. People in the school listen to this.
really?
And so basically, first 2 years, freshman, sophomore year, were just awful. Just terrible, terrible. No self-esteem, a lot of crying, terrible grades. And then this year, I'm doing less work than both those years combined. My grades went up, though. I think a lot of it had to do with just self-confidence. And, like, I second-guess myself on tests a lot. Now this year, I just do whatever. My grades are pretty good in most classes, except Spanish, but whatever. But we had college counselor meeting, and I was sitting in the room, and it was so weird because I was sitting there, and she had this little annoying little fucking dog that I was, like, petting and trying to be nice to because she has a dog. We have dogs that run around campus at all times. Teachers are allowed to bring dogs in. It's a weird school. Yeah, we can do that.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I'm going to use the information to find out what school you're going to.
Yeah, good luck with that. And one of the...
Schools for dogs.
She has a really small dog. It's really annoying, but it's... petting it, and then she goes, oh, I'm glad you like my dog. Also, your average as a student over these last 3 years has been a C+. Back to back, like just like that. She goes, I'm glad you like my dog, but also your average is a C+. And she handed me a piece of paper that said, Andres Cordova is a C+. And in like that moment, I realized like I was defined as a C+. That's all I was in her eyes. I was just a kid with a C+. Like, that's it. And it was such a demoralizing moment. And I started to, like, chuckle at how absurd it was. That's what I was. And then she, like, looked at me. She's like, are you okay? And then, like, I was teary-eyed, I realized. And, like, I didn't know what I was feeling. And, like, that was a Friday. I proceeded to leave. And we had been talking to all these kids about going to see that new Liam Neeson movie, Nonstop, which looks really bad, but it looked just a really dumb movie. It was a Friday, so it'd be fun. And they all told me, okay, the movies would be at 2:20, so like we need to pick you up. So they went to eat lunch, and I went to go to the library to read, because I always read. That's what I do. And then I realized that no one had come to me to tell me to leave, and it was already 2:30, so they had left me. And in that moment, this kid that was next, I told this kid, oh, do you know if they left? He's like, oh, shit, they left you. I'm so sorry, that really sucks. And I was like, no, it's fine. And he's like, are you just doing that thing where you say you're fine, but you're really, really upset, because you do that a lot. And I realized I wasn't upset, but my whole life, at least recently, has become a lot of me just trying to appease people, just trying to make people happy. And I was glad that I didn't have to hang out with those kids anymore because I had made them laugh a lot that day. Like, Royce is always making fun of me for saying, a good day for me is when I make people laugh. But that is what my life has become. That's what I've summed it up to. It's when I make people laugh, that's a good day for me, because I don't really have much outside of making people laugh at school. Like, I don't really have any friends at the moment outside of school, I realize. Like, all my friends are online or live in other states. So that's kind of where I'm at, which it's weird. If this was maybe 2 years ago, I'd be really, really sad about it. But I guess I'm just in a different headspace, which doesn't hurt me as much, I guess. Or maybe I'm just saying that and I am just as hurt, but I really don't know. And yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at the moment as a junior in high school.
Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah.
So now I'm curious, what do you guys see right now as what you want to do either professionally or a direction you want to go in life or something you want to do? It doesn't have to be a job if that's not something you're trying to achieve, or it could be a job if that's something you have in your sights, or it could just be a state of mind or something. I don't know. I'm curious what you all have your eyes set on the future.
I think I have, I don't know if, okay. So I, wanted to be a writer. I wanted to write scripts and comedy. And I applied to, NYU's, dramatic writing program, and I got in and I was like, oh, cool. And then I didn't go, but the more I think about it and the more I've been doing things is like, just my brain, when people are like, oh, what do you want to do? Like, the first thought is like, write comedy. But then when you say that, people are like, people don't really get it. And I don't really get it. But I also really like editing videos. So part of me is like, hey, why don't you write funny videos and then edit them? But I don't consider myself a strong enough performer where I could like write these videos, perform them for myself, and then act in them and then edit them, is I don't want to be that middleman. So I've been finding it tough to like find someone who I can work with creatively and like have them be the person that I have as an actor. But I would honestly not mind just sitting at a desk like 9 to 5 just editing videos. I actually find editing really like calming, and I'm one of those people that likes actually doing I love painting walls or like cleaning things, like, and so the finished product is something nice and smooth. I think, which is probably like, and ironing is like another example of these weird trivial tasks that I really enjoy. So I want to do something with editing, but I've also not been able to take any classes at school that are teaching me anything. So I get panicked about that, that I don't know as much as I should.
Sure. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
This is like totally just a group therapy session and like JD's the adult moderating it. That's fair. How do you feel about
it? I don't think it is group therapy. I think it's just people speaking their minds.
Yeah, I think that, yeah.
I'm not gonna try to solve anyone. I can't solve anyone's problems or thoughts or ideas.
Oh, no.
I'm just curious. I'm just curious.
A different vibe. It's definitely a different vibe, which I think is good. I like that. I like that you brought this to the table.
It doesn't feel as like cluttered or just kind of a clusterfuck like it usually is.
It's certainly less mean. I don't think anyone's really made fun of each other.
Like, I can't make a mean joke about editing, because if I was, you'd be like, wow, you betrayed my trust, you asshole.
Yeah, no.
Isn't it so much easier to be nice than mean?
Thanks, Dad.
In many respects. Yeah, I think this might be teaching us the wrong lesson.
Wilma Brothers, do you want to talk about your life?
Or do you have an idea?
We have most of the same interests.
No, yeah, we have a lot of the same interests. I don't know. I always felt really self-conscious about like sharing like what my like dreams are.
Yeah, I was like that too.
Because I feel like some part of that is almost like feels naive of me to like want something that's so like obvious or something so weird and like specific. Because like we have friends who are like going to school knowing what they want to do, like doing like computer science or something like that, and they're going to be like a programmer. And I feel like I couldn't do that, or I couldn't choose what I want to do. I like writing. I like comedy a lot. I like movies. And I would like to write or do something along those lines. there's part of me that like will watch like a Blur video playing Glastonbury in like 2009, and I just want to be like Damon Albarn. I love music a lot, and like there's that bit of me that would love to do that, knowing how that's not financially viable in any way whatsoever. So it's just like writing and music is like probably what I care more about than anything, and it feels weird to say. I don't think that really I tell many people that. I just like I'm going to school for like English or whatever, which I like literature and stuff like that. That ties into the writing, but it's I feel like a lot of times people might have like a really cynical or condescending quip if you say something that genuine and honest, because I feel like lots of people want to be comedians and lots of people want to be like quote unquote rock stars, but people kind of judge you for that, or at least judge you for vocalizing that, which I think is kind of wrong in a way.
Can go my turn, because I have a thing that kind of feeds into that.
No, yeah, for sure.
I don't know if I'm jumping over anyone else I want to go next, but this Thanksgiving, or it might have been Christmas, one of the two, I always go down to New York, and I have this uncle who's just, he's not my uncle, he's like, by marriage, and he's a nice enough guy, he's a little weird and quirky, and I think as I've gotten old, he tries to connect with me more, because I think he feels awkward about my father kind of not being around as much, and I don't feel it at all, but he does, and it's really weird that it's that dynamic, not the other way around. And so he asked, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I was like, oh, I'd really like to do something in comedy. And like without missing a beat, he responded, you're going to end up washing dishes with a dream like that. And
he's trying to be supportive of you?
Yeah. Like it was his way of being supportive, like telling me you should have a fallback kind
tough
of.
Tough love.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I totally got that, what he was coming from. At the same time, it was a really self-centered thing where I was like, well, not me though. Not me. Like
No, I feel the same way. I don't know, like, we come from a family, like, our grandpa was, like, born in a boxcar on a train because his dad was, like, a chef there. And, like, he always, I think he's supportive, but he always wanted us to be, like, an engineer or something like that, something that's, like, stable and grounded. And I think it's just because he comes from a place where that's so valuable because things are so unsure. Like, I have a great uncle who I'm really close with who, like, he worked, like, transporting large chunks of ice. He like worked at an ice plant and he worked his ass off, and like part of me feels guilty that like I'm so lucky to be in a position where I could like be 19 and still be somewhat invested in my frivolous dreams.
Oh yeah,
because
yeah,
totally. I'm not like working at a fucking assembly line just to like put food on the table, you know, like there's almost like a guilt there because I'm very privileged to even be in this position.
It's where, the like, whole
my grandpa
thing about,
wasn't.
Yeah, it's a whole thing about being privileged that we're all teenagers in America. When
oh yeah, even just being in America.
Just being in America is so insane. Like I can't picture my life any other way, but being in America is such a genetic like lottery victory for all of us. Like we won out so hard getting to become American teenagers.
Yeah. Oh, like, man.
Chris or Paige?
Chris is dying to say something right now.
Yeah, I'll go. Well, I mean, like, mine's, like, mostly the same as yours. Yeah. Like, I was the same way. I didn't even, like, I think I, like, mostly wanted to, like, write or, like, make movies and stuff for, like, a lot of my life, but didn't really say anything about it till like, freshman or sophomore year because it was, like, I don't know, weird to say it.
Right.
And I don't know. Like, at this point, I don't really know how I'm going to do anything, but it's just kind of, like, try stuff and see what works.
This is a weird twin thing to bring up. Like, do you envision doing anything with me, like, professionally?
Squad brother style?
No. Because,
oh, no, definitely not.
No, I wouldn't even want
to. Both of us are just like, there's no way we'd be able to do that kind
of actually talking about that brother yesterday. Stuff. But I don't know. Like, I guess in my mind, I think this is a weird twin thing. I don't know if I've ever, like, talked to you in depth about it. I always thought that, like, at some way that we would like be working together to some extent, because I think
probably
I think in a lot of ways we're like not on the same page, but a lot we are.
We have like opposite work styles.
No, that is true. That's a big point of contention. But in terms of like what we like stylistically or what we like comedically or musically, it like lines up more so than literally anyone I know, which isn't a surprise given that we've lived in the same house for almost 20 years, but
yeah.
Okay.
Paige, this must be, how do you feel like in terms of what do you want to do? And when people, now that you have to apply to college, because I think that was a huge struggle, was like, oh, you have to know what you want to do because you're applying to somewhere you're supposed to stay for 4 years to figure that out. Mm-hmm. How does that make you feel? And also just what did you want to do?
Yeah, that's the thing. I have no idea. You know, I really don't know what I want to do. I mean, I have ideas, but I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not, like, set on anything. You know, like, I want to major in linguistics. I think that my mind might change. I don't know. But, like, I don't know if I want to have a job that's related to linguistics or if I want to do something completely unrelated. Yeah, so I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what else to say. I just really don't know what I want to do.
What about linguistics is interesting to you?
That's a good question. I've always been sort of interested in, like, the English language and, like, grammar and stuff. I was really into spelling when I was little. I, like, really wanted to win the National Spelling Bee.
Did you do any contests?
I was in my 7th grade spelling bee, but I didn't win, so. Ooh, I got out on the word pizzeria, so I'm bitter about that.
Joel.
I was in 7th grade.
Got out on the word library.
Anyway.
Yeah, probably.
So, yeah, just, like, the English language is interesting to me. But like I said, like, I don't know if that's going to have anything to do with my career.
JD, what do you want to do if you like?
What do you feel like doing?
What do I want to do with my life? Oh boy, I think I'm at the steps of it right now. We'll see. But you know, I want to direct and produce TV shows and feature films and tell stories. I want to just tell stories in whatever way people are consuming stories. And right now, that's TV and movies, and maybe that'll change soon. And podcasts,
holograms.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I want to do.
I mean,
this has been the most real all any of us have said.
Yeah,
if I,
has
which
been
is fun.
One skateboarding joke since this podcast began. This is a good barometer of where we are at the moment. Yeah.
But we did make one earlier.
Did we make a skateboarding joke?
We did one podcast.
We did
before you got here.
You weren't here.
Damn.
I mean, if I could jump back in for 1 second, I mean, God. you know, I'm interested in, like, online video and, like, music and stuff. But, like, I mean, I just said this before. Like, I don't know if that's going to be part of what I do either. And, like, I think it could be because I am very interested in both of those things. But I don't know for sure.
Sure.
I think definitely a big fear for me is that the thing that I'm into now, like, my whole life I've always – I'm always, like, a very addictive personality. When I get into something, I'm really into it. But I think my fear is that the things that I'm into now aren't going to be viable professions in the future because like, I think whenever I hear about, like, the glory days of UCB, it's past, kind of. It's always past tense because it's true. Like, it's not definitely, I don't think, where it used to be, where it was, like, at the peak where you had literally all these famous people just coming through the doors. Like, I heard stories in line once for ASCAP where SNL people would just drop by for ASCAP, like, sometimes just insane stuff like that. And it's definitely, like, weird to hear that now I'm getting into it now when a lot of the peaking has happened. So, well, I don't know.
Like, aren't the people who are there now going to be the people, like, in retrospect, it's easy to see, like,
I guess that's
these
true,
are the
yeah.
glory days, but, like, 5 years from now, like, everyone who's at UCB now could, like, be fucking running the fucking the world, and some 16-year-old in Massachusetts can buy, man, glory days 5 years ago.
Those glory days, man.
Yeah, you can't get too nostalgic or too intimidated or sorrowful for the past, just because at the end of the day, it's just people. You know what I mean? Like, if you look back at the great writers of our times, it was just a guy writing stuff into a book, right? If you look back at the great comedians, they're just people with good ideas. And so it's easy to look back and see who became great and feel like, oh, I'll never just be able to be that person at their top form. But then you find your people, you find your thing, you work hard, and suddenly you start seeing that, like, oh, just the same way that they worked hard and did something is the way that I can do that, or this other person can do that. And then you make of it whatever you want it to be, you know? Because I'm, you know, at UCB at the time, when the UCB Force first started UCB, there was literally nothing in New York, and they weren't, which now a lot of people look back as the heyday when it was, you know, a wild west of no real alternative comedy in New York and
Ooh-wee.
A couple theaters Ooh-wee. Making their own thing. But they were thinking back to, oh man, you know, the days of Second City and all that stuff. And now we look back at that as the heyday. And then I'm sure 10 years from now, people look back at what's going on now as being a big moment for things. The past is overrated.
I like that. So now I think we need to turn the tables and ask JD new questions.
JD interviewed us on our podcast.
Getting us to talk.
I just took over your podcast, yeah.
It's great, basically. And made it better than it's ever been.
That's definitely.
Legitimately.
JD's so therapy hour will be the name of the...
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Or just... JD's better than us.
That was not the subtext of this. I legitimately just wanted to hear about your lives.
Better like, oh, you're doing better. Like, you're better at making this podcast something listenable than we are.
Well, I think the listeners just wanted to hear a little bit about your guys' lives. And I wanted to make sure that was documented for all of the future to hear.
For our this is one to podcast that we're going to fuck up and delete.
Have you guys ever come across something from your parents? Like, I came across over winter break a journal that my mom had written in when I was just born.
Oh, wow.
That's insane.
So it was fucking crazy to read.
Chapter
and
one,
like,
a huge mistake.
One of the posts was like, you bite a lot of things, you need to stop. And I was like, oh, God. But what was even weirder was it cut off at a point, and it was only like, it was a pretty, it probably had like, what, 50 pages, and there were only like 10 written on it.
You died in that moment, and now you're a ghost.
Oh, no.
The weirdest part was that there was like 10 pages, and then it stopped, and then the next page was like, your brother is just born. So my mom stopped writing in this journal, and then 2 years later, picked it back up and, like, wrote, like, your brother exists. And it was, like, a weird moment where I was like, what the... Like, it was so weird to read. And it was one of the coolest things I think I've ever read, though, because, like, I wouldn't get to know these things about me as a baby. But also, my mom probably doesn't remember those things. So I think that this podcast is another example of, like, just things that we will not remember. Like, we won't remember them in our daily lives, but if we listen back, we'll be like, holy shit, that happened.
Yeah.
Which is cool. So now we have to ask JD questions.
Yeah, what were you like as a teen, JD?
What was I like as a teen? Growing up, me and my friends, we made movies all the time. That was, like, what we spent all of our time doing, was just, like, making movies, to the point that we, like, had a quote production company that we would like bring. The school would let us screen our movies to all the classes, and then everyone wanted to be in them. So then we had interviews. So we had applications that we gave everyone, and we made them sit down and talk to us about what they had to offer, special skills, the types of roles they could play.
Oh my God!
So me and my friends would just make movies all the time. We loved Star Wars and video games and science fiction, fantasy stuff. But I was also really into sports, so I feel like I was sort of straddling the world of athletics and that kind of stuff, and also the world of, like, playing Star Wars at recess as a kid. And so then the version of that turns into a teenager, which is just, like, awkward but still into science fiction and fantasy stuff, but still trying to play sports and doing a lot of stuff. Yeah, I mean, my parents' sort of rule growing up was, you can do whatever you want. You just have to just be the best at it. So we want, don't doesn't matter what it is, but as long as you are trying to be the best at whatever that thing is, you can do it. So I ended up with a lot of hobbies and a lot of things and trying to devote a lot of time to stuff. So high school has had a lot of stuff going on. Never socially, I had a lot of friends through all the stuff that I did, but I wasn't like a big party guy or never really had like wasn't in a lot of relationships. Was pretty dead set on I want to make movies and I want to make stuff, and I just like try to find whatever way I could do that. So then I had to like come out of that and be like, after my teen years, and be like, oh wait, I have to like I have to relive some of the life stuff that I skipped, being too tunnel vision on all the trying to make movies and stuff. Wore a lot of colorful clothes. my aunt would make necklaces that I would wear, so I wore necklaces as a teen.
In the back of JD's room, not even to make a joke, just color swatches, just palettes of colors in the back of his room are just hanging out. It's like he's the happiest serial killer ever.
Yeah, and that's, you can see in the back of my screen right there, that's my the spirit of productivity. I made a god of productivity, a shrine out of cardboard and paint that I pray to, air quotes, when I need to be productive. If I'm ever not being productive, I look back at the spirit of productivity, and it reminds me that I need to get back to work. And then I give it an offering. There's a little shelf at the bottom of this cardboard mask that I've made, that I give it an offering and ask it to grant me the power to be productive, and then I get back to work.
That is, what I'm fascinated by the necklaces still. Yeah, does it work? Do you find that the god of productivity works?
Yes, it works purely as a mental thing, because if you have a something that is, quote, a spirit of productivity that is behind you, then any time that you're wasting time or being unproductive, if you look back at it and look at it, you're immediately, you remember, like, oh, right, I probably have something to do. It's reminding you to be productive, to get back to work, and then you feel like you have to. So whether or not there's actually a spirit that inhabits my apartment and that I created, it at least reminds me to get back to work. So I have a lot of things like that, little reminders around my room to like do stuff.
Are you were you the kind of person that like collects things? Like, I know I have a lot of ticket stubs and like programs from things. Did you do that as a teen, or did you do that like just more in adulthood?
I don't really collect that much stuff, actually. I'm not too precious about things. I have a lot of stuff that I like around, but at the end of the day, if I had to throw it out, I could do it in a second, no problem. So like I do keep all of my movie tickets, because movie tickets are like a very special, magical thing to me. I was just looking through it the other day. As I was doing my taxes, I was looking through my book of all the movies I've seen over the past 10 years.
Yuck, taxes.
Yeah, right? That's something you teens don't have to think about right now.
It's too adult.
I have to do taxes.
Royce, please bleep that out. Please bleep that out.
Bleep what out?
The reference of the idea of having to pay taxes, yeah.
That's much too adult.
I'm going to find the specific moment, God knows how far in, and just bleep it out.
So back to necklaces, because I think I'm still interested. What did they look like in terms of, because there's different types of necklaces.
My aunt would make a bunch of different kinds, and she'd send them to me, and I always liked them. Because to this day, I really like colorful stuff. I like all the colors together. And so one was just like a very simple black string with like a stone on it. Keep it, it'd never be out, it'd be beneath my shirt. One of them was super colorful and had like a bunch of stones. It was like very like, it was very probably distressed. I mean, it was something that was out there. I was just, my friend Todd Bieber, who runs UCB Comedy, and he's a UCB guy. He and I both worked together to sort of get UCB Comedy off the ground years ago. And he had interviews to get people to come in to see who they wanted to work at. And I ended up being the one that he chose to work with him on stuff. But he was just telling me the other day, I never realized this, is that I came into the interview wearing I have a sweater that my grandfather gave me that's got like colorful checker, like big colorful squares all over it. And it's this big sweatshirt. And then on top of it, I had a necklace that I was always wearing. It was like this big, like it was like a turquoise necklace. And apparently he told me that the moment I walked in, he was like, there's no way I'm hiring this guy. Like, there's no way I'm going to hire this guy. Like, this, no way. And then luckily in talking to me, he was like, oh no, this is the guy. But apparently I had all the odds stacked against me because of the fact that I was wearing this like big colorful necklace and like a colorful sweater at the time. So that was sort of the version of me as a kid, as a teen, into art and movies and sports at the same time, and usually too many things going on.
So what movies would you guys make?
Well,
I want to know about that.
What?
Do you still have those too? Like those teenage JD movies?
Yeah, somewhere. I'm sure I have them somewhere. I mean, none of them are any good at all, I'm sure. But the one thing that I was proud of is that in Illinois they have AP classes, which I guess there's different names for them in different schools. And so they had AP art, which was advanced placement art. And part of it is that you...
No, I'm pretty sure they have AP classes everywhere.
No, I think they have something called IB in other states.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. That's a thing I've heard.
AP, yes, AP art.
Yes.
Quick tangent. Do you know in England they call periods full stops?
Really? I mean...
Does anyone, any of you know that?
Not school
periods.
What
type
period?
Of period?
Grammatical periods.
Yeah, exactly.
How are we supposed to know that you weren't talking about menstruation, man?
Yeah, I thought you were talking about like school class periods.
Oh.
Because we were talking about school and that would have been on topic.
This story.
We can see where everyone's brain
is a very
goes.
Versatile word.
Okay, I was trying to make bring up a cool fact, so Royce, and you guys have perv. To be the assholes. Go ahead, JD.
they have that in movies all the time when they're reading Morse
telegrams.
Code. It'll be like, da da da, full stop, da 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 da.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Oh. I just understood that now.
Yeah.
I just killed the conversation.
So AP art.
Oh, all right.
So
in AP art, I found an old 16mm projector. I was like the only kid that really made movies in our school, or that was obsessed with it. There's a lot of people that did, but I spent every moment doing it. And so I went down to the archives of our school, and I had it was a very big school that I went to. And I found a 16mm projector and a bunch of old film. And then I found a place that would sell me old film. And then I went to a local guy that ran a photo studio, and he taught me how to splice together film. And so I did like an animation thing, sort of like stand brackage, where you like write on the clear celluloid and like dye it and scratch and stuff like that. And I made this weird sort of short film set to music of all these images of scratched film and all this stuff. And my teacher really liked it, and he was like, you should send it to festivals. And I was like, there's not that many student festivals. He's like, no, don't send it to student festivals. Send it to like real ones. And I was like, yeah, they won't take it because I'm like a teenager. And he's like, yeah, so make up a fake persona. So I made up a fake persona of this old accredited great filmmaker, this artist in New York in Chicago. And I sent it out, and I got into a film festival at Sarah Lawrence. And then they sent me an email asking if I would come to the screening of it and talk about it. And I just had to kindly no, unfortunately I can't make it. But I did. That was my one moment of pride in high school, was getting...
That is literally the most sitcom-y story I've ever heard. Like, I can just picture you and your friend in a trench coat with you on top just walking in.
Fake mustache.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm old accredited filmmaker. Just shaking people's hands.
Right. But that was like one of the first moments too. I was like, oh, like, it's all just people doing stuff. You can just sort of make anything up and do your thing. It doesn't really matter.
Mm.
But yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm trying to think. Teen-wise, I was pretty, I don't know. Didn't go to parties ever. Had too many.
Smoked a lot of weed.
Was that because you weren't invited, or because you chose not to?
Probably it started as I chose not to, and then I wouldn't be invited because I was not someone that I didn't drink, still don't drink, never have done drugs or anything like that. Just because my noggin's a little out of sync already, so I gotta keep it on the steady as is.
So sobriety is my high.
Yeah, or just like crippling psychopath disorder. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens to me in the next couple decades. I might just spin out of control and end up in the woods somewhere in a hut.
That'd be awesome. We could have this podcast like You know, the old hut guy in the woods? Yeah, this was him. He was a therapist for a day.
I just imagine all of us with, like, backpacks and hiking gear and, like, a map with, like, riddles on it. And we're, like, walking into the woods and we just see JD, like, in a hut. Like, you have the recording equipment, right?
It's
like,
but yes. It's a very colorful hut.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, very colorful.
That's how you know it's
not
his.
Camouflage.
Lots of flowers around, for sure.
He only has necklaces and, like, a loincloth that was made out of the old sweatshirt. It's all checkered and colored.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, yeah, if I go crazy, look for me there.
Yeah.
Just look for the colors.
Oh, my God.
So, do you have any more questions for us, JD?
Sure. Let's see.
Andres is like, yeah, can you ask us a little bit more, please? Thank you.
What would you like to know of your peers here, Andres? What's something you'd like to know?
I don't know.
Doesn't have to be deep. Doesn't have to be personal.
Wow, this is. I've actually frequently had thoughts of, like, wondering, oh, I wonder what they're doing, what they're thinking at times. But I think the big one for me was, what do you didn't want to do with their lives when they grow up? I think that was a big one. I was glad that we all got to hear about that, because that was really interesting to hear what, like, you guys had to say about that kind of stuff. Like, it was not, like I said, like, Paige and linguistics would never have pictured.
Oh, yeah, and that was pretty new information right there.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's fun. I have a question. Were you guys, well, for those who aren't in high school anymore, but like I was a slacker in high school. JD, you can be a part of this too. Did you guys slack off in high school like
yep.
I did? Because
Chris, yeah, did.
Oh, my God.
I took incredible. Like, hella AP classes.
Well, I would do those too, but yeah. I would slack off on those.
Yeah, no, it was
yeah. I
like,
took AP classes, but I wrote essays at 2 a.m. the night before they were due.
Yeah,
and still passed.
I mean, yeah, I think I kind of was like, I towed the line between slacking and being like a complete nerd, because I really disliked people who were nerds.
Hate
if that makes
nerd.
Any sense. No, I did. Not like in a, like, I stuff them in a trash can kind right. of way, but I thought that, like, that type of mentality is just so depressing to me, to be, like, so invested in, like, a grade or whatever.
Is it being invested in something or investing in grades? Like,
I think grades are, like, a lot of times bullshit and just, like, an indicator of how well people are at kissing ass. So I dislike people who are like that, but at the same time, I wanted really badly to get better grades than them, or like get
so
better AP scores.
So you're just butthurt about
them.
Your shitty grades.
Yeah, basically, or I don't know, I beat them sometimes.
Do you have like I, one of my defining slacker memories is like, I took AP US history and I had like a 75 throughout the class for like the whole year. And my teacher was really harsh and I was bad at it and I don't like US history. So it was really tough. But then the night before the AP, I stayed up till 2 a.m. just talking with a friend on Skype. I didn't study for the test, and I took it, and I got a 4.
That's
and
what?
I still don't know how that happened.
No, I have a similar story. I didn't think I was taking, like, the language and composition test. So mm-hmm. I was just, like, dicking around in my aiding period while everyone was taking the test. And then I got paged to go to a certain room. Apparently, I did sign up to take the test and forgot about it. And then I got, like, a 5 on it. Didn't study at all. Didn't think I
was
going to take it. And like, it was just, like, fuck you to everyone who studied. Like, it was just, like,
we knew someone with
great
the AP
victory.
Bio test.
Someone
just
took the
just drew
oh,
dicks all over the essay
yeah,
section.
Yeah, one of our friends, Tyler, just drew dicks over one of the essays, and he still passed. And, like, I love people like that. Like, I love people who just, like, they don't give a fuck, and then they still do good. I feel like, I don't know.
I think, for me now at least, it's a lot of... Oh, we had the drug addict come that speaks at a school, going back to him, he brought up what's how...
Did he hear the episode?
I've not seen him since then. I don't know where he's been. But he once brought up we were in a room, and he was talking about how kids usually turn to drugs and alcohol because they're stressed out. So he put the very... It makes sense, but it also isn't good advice, kind of, where he's like, hey, if you're going to procrastinate, might as well just procrastinate. Don't worry about it. Don't always have in the back of your mind, oh, I'm procrastinating. Just go with it. Just procrastinate, because you know you're going to do it no matter what. And it's super shitty advice. And the second he said, like, I turned to my friend, I'm like, you hear this guy, this freaking guy, like, what is he now? But I've taken it to heart so hard, strong this year. I've stopped feeling angry at myself for procrastinating like I used to when I was younger. Like, I get really mad at myself and I stress myself out and I had breakdowns about it. Now I'm just like, well, it's gonna happen. I'm not gonna do my homework beforehand. Like, that's just not me as a person. I can't make myself sit down and do it. So I just go with it. And this is by far my best year academically in high school. By far. Where the year I just kind of accepted my limitation, that I will never be the person that can organize his work and get it done weeks ahead of time. It has to be the night before for me.
Sure.
I think
like that's a lot of stuff, though. I feel like even professionally, it's like, you know, for anything creative, that's always the joke. It's like the best motivator is the deadline. So it's like if you have a year to write a screenplay, you're not going to really get it down until the last month that it's due. I think that's just human nature.
Mm-hmm.
Paige, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, like, I think people who don't know me that well, but who go to school with me, like, would be surprised by how much I procrastinate. And, like, I wouldn't say I'm, like, a slacker, but I do slack off sometimes. But, like, I still do well. And, like, I think people might assume that I, like, you know, I'm really well organized and, like, always on top of things, but I'm totally not. Like, I'm not very well organized, and I procrastinate all the time. So, yeah, but I still manage to do pretty well. So that's
nice.
Weird
thing,
type of people.
Slacking off is
the weird thing here and Chris is that he's saying that he doesn't bond with teachers. Like, my whole life has been the opposite of that. Like, I strive to get a relationship with all my teachers. Like, I don't go in every class saying I'm going to become, like, a friend of this guy, but I try to talk as much as possible. And, like, I like finding out about teachers. And it's just, like, that weird thing when you're younger, you don't think teachers are real people. You just, they're just adults that are standing there. But, like, the other day I was sitting in an English class, and my English teacher was just, I almost said his name, my English teacher was just talking about, like, what it's like being alive at this time. I think it was the 70s we were talking about. And I stopped to realize that he's talking, and through his eyes, he's talking to a bunch of these, like, teenage boys that are, like, dicking around, kind of, and just not really caring about what he's saying, but at the same time, they have to be here. But to think that at one point he was in the same position, dicking around in front of an English teacher, and just, like, not caring about what the guy had to say, that it kind of just keeps looping like that, in a way. It was just so weird for me to think of him like that, like, make him an actual person. And that's why, like, I like talking to teachers and seeing them as actual people, because I just find it really interesting.
Yeah, I think there's, like, a habit to, like, view people as, like, caricatures. I think that a lot of people have. Just with anything, like, watching a TV show or like, I don't know, like, people talk shit about TV shows and they don't realize that there's, like, someone, like, behind it. That, like, Chuck Lorre is, like, a man with thoughts and fears beyond making terrible three-cam sitcoms. Sorry, Chuck Lorre.
Very successful three-camera sitcoms.
Very, 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 very successful three-cam sitcoms.
It's the whole Chris making a panini on prom night. Like, who's the real winner here?
No, yeah.
Me, I got a panini.
You know, Chris was winner. And I think that I was, I don't know, I assume you guys are, I was always someone who tried to, like, dig deeper and, like, find everybody who made these things that I liked. And I think I tried to actively, like Andres did with his teachers, like, humanize the people behind, like, my favorite books or my favorite TV shows. And I think that's another thing that drew me to the TCGS, because, like, I think it's very clearly the product of, like, actual people existing in an actual world. Making something and enjoying that process, because it's so transparent.
Yeah, like, TCGS from the get-go, I never had to try to personify them. They were already people. That's, like, right. It was weird that you brought that up. Like, I've never had to struggle to try to make them.
Right.
Well,
and I don't know if this is a bad thing. Like, I don't view, like, I admire, like, everyone involved in the show so much, but it's like I don't view them like I would. This is a bad example, like Shakespeare, like, or something that's, like, on this huge high pedestal, making something that I like.
Also, Shakespeare's dead.
Also, Shakespeare is dead. But I don't like put it on a pedestal in any way. I think it's been like so genuine and transparent enough that like I feel like these are all just like a bunch of people who I do admire, but like first and foremost seem like people and seem like really cool like people that I'd like want to hang out with or something, you know?
Sure. What are your thoughts, JD? Because you're in this, like,
yeah.
Yeah, is it weird, like, people that are fans of this show, like, something that you're such a big part of?
Well, the weird thing is that, like, I think for the show, a lot of people involved, like, for the totality of it, I sort of end up being the hinge point for everyone involved, because it's basically a mix of my friends from NYU and then the UCB world that I'm a part of. And so for me, it's just like super strange because everyone that's part of the show is someone that I knew before the show and was good friends with. All of the NYU people are my close friends from, you know, my years at NYU, and we've been through all that stuff. And everyone from UCB is people that I started out with or came up with or looked up to as I came up at UCB and was a part of. So it's very strange. You're talking about not having to personify them, like, these were all people that were a big part of my life before TCGS. And so it's really, really fun for me to see everyone knowing my friends now and being excited about my friends. Like, the fact that like you guys know who Rob Malone is and who Andrew Parrish is like super exciting and fun for me. The fact that like you guys know Griffin is like super exciting for me. Like the fact that Chris and Rob Malone are now work together on tons of stuff and are friends is like exciting to me. The fact that, like, I don't know, it's just like, it's fun for me to take all this, these people that I've met and worked with in different capacities throughout my life and then have them all come together on this one show. And sure, I have tons of friends outside of the show, but like this show is also a look at sort of the core group of people that are a part of my life. And so it is super strange, to see everyone engaging with them. And I think it's fun, like you said, because the show sort of we try not to have too many barriers between us and the content or the audience and the content. It means that you guys sort of get to feel like you are friends with, and to a large extent you are friends with all of these people. And so it's really fun for you to be able to know all these things about, you know, about Goosey and Griffin and Riley and Rob Malone and Andrew Parrish and Keith Haskell and James Dwyer and Matt Denny, like all these people that, I don't know.
So sorry, that is right where JD's audio cut off. Keep a lookout for episode 6.5, the last episode, where I am going to do my best with my limited knowledge of Logic to salvage that. It should sound pretty decent, but in the time being, here's Colin.
Here is a new bit for you guys, straight out of the noggin of Colin from Ohio. I call this segment Colin's Fizz Corner. Colin's Fizz Corner. I think I could use this segment to kind of test out material that I'm not really sure what to do with. Just kind of random thoughts and ideas that I find humorous. So here I begin. Let's start with something topical. You know, last weekend, I bet there was a guy somewhere in America named Oscar who had a really great joke, and he thought to himself, I guess the Oscars really are on tonight. There's no I in Team Jacob. Great drink for a John Steinbeck-themed party would be of ice and gin. Did you know, at Chipotle, you can ask for a burrito wrapped in a cheese quesadilla instead of a tortilla. You can also eat butter. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take is good life advice, but kind of horrible basketball advice. My daughter, on her teeter-totter, slaughtered the freshwater otter I bought her, just like I taught her. I put a chameleon on a red dildo. He blushed. I just saw Rolf of Wall Street. Rolf was good. I thought Fazio was a little too aware it was a comedy. We're coming in! Oh no, it's the plagiarism police!
We're gonna take you downtown.
But first, take off that paper bag that says I'm not famous anymore. You're so unoriginal, you went word for word off of Shia LaBeouf. And that's fucking Shia LaBeouf. But it was artful, right? That's what it was. You copied Harris Whittle's bit from Comedy Bang Bang and used material from Bo Burnham and Drew Johnson. What the fuck? But I admire their work. Yeah, I was just trying to... It was an homage. I swear, officer. It's like my man Shia did with Daniel Klaus. It wasn't, like, that popular. Both not very incredibly well-received. So I figured I'd just do it better, right? Or at least bring a wider acknowledgement to them, I guess. I guess that's what me and Shia are doing. Me and Shia be doing over here.
Then you shouldn't have fucked up the execution, then. Obviously. I'm beginning to think you didn't really have anything planned in the first place for this bit this week.
Please, officer.
Tell it to the judge. I'm done with you. We're going downtown, as I said earlier. Down, motherfucking down.
To be continued. Next week on Colin's segment, celebrity guests, drama, courtrooms, drama, judges, courtroom. And most of all, drama. Drama. Johnny Drama. Oh shit, we spoiled one of the celebrities.